Welcome, listeners, to yet another episode of the Retro Asylum. This is episode 238, and this is Matt speaking, and I'm joined with Chris. Say hello, Chris.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How about you?
Good, yeah. All good, thanks. Yeah, not bad. Looking forward to Christmas. 2 days to go.
Oh, yeah. It's getting close. And we just recorded a bumper episode for Christmas, didn't we?
Yeah. We sure did. It was such good fun.
It was. I'm looking forward to that one. Tiny bit cold though, but listeners will have to listen to the episode to find out why.
Now we're doing this weird time paradox thing that only happens in the world of podcasts, doesn't it? Because we are talking after recording the Christmas episode.
Yes.
But the Christmas episode is going to come out after this.
Mm-hmm.
So are we before the Christmas episode or are we after the Christmas episode? I'm not sure. The only thing I would say is I'm just not going to mention Mad Lizzie.
No, please don't. That'd be good. That'd be good.
So, and that will make sense to absolutely nobody.
Yet. So for this episode, we'll be talking about the Game Club because we are talking about whittling down the list of games for January of 2021. Yeah. Finally, over and done with the whole 2020 thing. Really looking forward to that. And getting into playing some even more games in 2021 instead.
Yeah, for sure. 2020 has been horrible. We all know that. But we've still played some good games.
Oh, yes, we have.
Through it all, you know, we recorded back in March and April, and we were saying then that the world was going to hell in a handcart, but we were going to be carrying on, and carry on we did.
Indeed.
And we've played some crackers this year, and we're going to talk about some of those, I'm sure, in a little bit. But yeah, I love doing this because it kind of marks the passage of time, doesn't it? I mean, think back, January, we played Bonk's Revenge, and that feels like forever ago.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that because that was when I had just moved into my new apartment and I was sitting there. One of the first things I unwrapped was the PC Engine so that I could actually play Bonk.
Yeah. I think back to the... So that was in your Harbour apartment, was it?
No. That was the new apartment I'm staying in now.
Wow. So you've been there almost a year?
Yeah, I have.
Crikey. Mm. God, that's flown by.
Yeah, has indeed.
Hasn't it? Gone are the days of podcasting in the nude because you were too hot in your harbourside apartment.
Yes. Now I just podcast in the nude for fun.
Oh dear. It's gone south. It's gone. It took 2.5 minutes. So, excellent.
Should we just go through the list of games we actually played this this calendar year here? As you said, we started with Bonk's Revenge and then we played Loom, the adventure game from the LucasArts or LucasFilm, back then. We played Ikaruga, Advance Wars, Strider, Ikari Warriors, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Ys, Book 1 and 2 for our RPG months, and Silent Hill, Truxton, and right now we're playing Exile, of course.
Yeah.
Many, many good games there. So you've got any favorites there?
I was going to ask you that. We haven't planned this, have we? We're just kind of chatting away here, but I was going to ask you that. Okay, so...
So for me, there'll be two games to pick because one is the obvious favorite. For me, the obvious favorite here is Loom because I simply love that little adventure game so much. And I'm so sad that we never saw Fortune Fault, the second and third game in that series. That's, of course, a bit boring. What did I learn about that I now love and want to play more? And that would probably actually be Ys or Silent Hill because I was surprised... Let's see, Silent Hill, I probably ended up the episode saying I'll never play a horror game again because it scared me a lot. But I was actually surprised at how much I enjoyed playing that game after all, even though I got scared, because it was a great way of playing an adventure game as well.
Yeah.
And Ys, again, a game that in some ways I hated it because the navigation in the last third was a waste of time, really.
You still have nightmares about Solomon Shrine, don't you?
I do. But it was still such a nice gameplay mechanic with the whole bump and grind stuff, right?
But I still listen to the soundtrack as well.
Oh, yeah, that was beautiful on the PC Engine. So,
yeah,
we played some really good games. Advance Wars was the perfect portable strategy game as well. I mean,
yeah, love it.
Pop that in your in your pocket and go for a long journey. That'll just be, it'll be gone in no time.
Yeah. So for me, I think, and this is really surprising, I would never have thought, I think out of all the games we played, Ikari Warriors probably, looking down this list, okay, I love these because I love RPGs and I'd love to play more East. Advance Wars, you know, probably, you know, top 10 of all time, perhaps. Certainly my top 3 or 4 puzzle games. Loom is an all-time classic, so there's some obvious ones in there. But when Ikari Warriors was chosen, I thought to myself, this is something which is never going to last a month. We're never going to be able to get a month out of this. People will be bored after a week. People were still posting scores on Ikari Warriors after we recorded. So yeah. It really took me by surprise. I really, really enjoyed that month. I got my teeth right into Ikari Warriors.
Yeah, me too. I got proper hooked on it, actually.
Yeah, great. And great to give the CPC some love as well. I mean, people criticise us here on Retro Silent for not doing it enough. But at least in that month, we had a lot of people playing along with us. And they were all... Well, we had a lot of people playing on Real Hardware as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, CPC love, man. We'll need to do more CPC stuff next year.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
Won't we? So, to close out, or to start... Sorry, to start, because we're looking forward to January. To start 2021... We decided, and we revealed this at the end of the last episode, that we were going to look back through what we've played, not just from 2020, but also from 2019, and we're going to choose some sequels, and we're just going to have a discussion about that. There's a slight change to the format here, dear listeners, because, well, for reasons, amongst some of those reasons are the fact that the Christmas episode has taken quite a lot of our time recently. We haven't been able to record this. We didn't feel to give the poll enough time to run. Am I just making excuses for the fact, Matt, that we just want to really choose between ourselves?
Yeah, just own up to it, mate.
Perhaps. But yeah, the difference here is that there's not going to be a poll this month. We are going to, in a few minutes, we are going to whittle down our sequels, and we are going to choose one between us. And we're going to do it. We're going to agree, aren't we, Mats? In great EU-UK relations,
we'll be here all night.
We're going to talk in reasonable time, and we are going to decide between us what game to play in January.
Yeah, we'll do our very Deal? Best at least.
Yeah.
And listeners, if we can't agree, we'll just play 2 games, right? So... No worries.
Yeah, or we'll just leave these talks without any game, and then we can just call it a no deal game club.
Oh yeah, that's a possibility, of course.
Mads, before we dive into that, is there anything, any news that you wanted to bring up? We'll do this a bit more detail with Dean when we record the Exile episode. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about today?
So I only had just one thing. So. Charlton Handley, if that's what he's called. He did the Million Molly game for the C64. I just noticed today on Twitter, actually, earlier today, that he's working on a game right now called Run and Gun. It looks beautiful on the C64. A run and gun, shoot 'em up platformer, where you control, if I understand it correctly, you control 2 little characters. Well, you can take turn, you can switch. One of them is good at gunning down things and not that good at the platforming. The other one is better at the platforming. And then you just jump through these environments. There's even a double jump, and it looks so good. It didn't have any sound on the little clip that he sent, but really it looks extremely playable for a C64 game. So I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
Yeah. And Steve's been talking. He mentions on the I'm going to gaze into the future and talk about the Christmas episode, which people won't have listened to yet. But yeah, Steve mentioned on there, didn't he, that he's been playing Million Molly on the... On that's just come out on the iOS.
Yeah, true.
Which is pretty cool. So he has been in the news recently. And speaking of Carlton Handley, did you catch that C64 bundle that has been going on Itch, the C64 Christmas bundle recently?
Yeah, you showed me, mate. It's the one mentioned on Indie Retro News, right?
That's right. So 15 C64 games, some of them are Christmas themed. For $5, yeah, which is about £3.50. That is an incredible deal for 15 C64 games. And actually, he has 2 games on this bundle. He's got games called Grand Prix Advent and Blockheads 4K. which both of which look nice. And we were actually talking, weren't we, just before we started this, that we would like to cover more of these modern games for legacy systems going forward. There's so much good stuff around.
Yeah, I see this bundle's got Sarah Jane Avery's Santron as well. That must have been last Christmas she did that Christmas-skinned version of one of her C64 shoot-em-ups.
Yeah, that's right. And there's another game called Snowdown as well, which I'm sure it's by Badger Punch Games, and I'm sure I've seen that doing the rounds as well in the last couple of years around this time of year. There's a red Santa and a blue Santa, and yeah, that looks quite good. So there's plenty of good stuff on there, and the offer runs for another 9 days, and that is an incredible amount of value for those 15 games. I'm certainly going to pick them up because I need more games in my backlog. Of course I do. But why wouldn't you for that?
Yeah. So I'll go pick this up as well. I like to try out at least new games on retro systems.
Yeah. And speaking of adding games to the backlog, are you keeping up with the Epic Game Store's 15 free games of Christmas?
No. And actually, the reason I'm not keeping up with it is that my backlog is so extremely big already, so I really don't want any free games, mate. I just want to play the ones I've got. So I made a conscious decision, actually. I mean, you and some of the other guys were talking about it like 2 weeks ago on the Discord channel, and I thought, should I log in there and find some free games? And I decided, no, I really don't need any more games. It'll be okay.
I think I've got enough games to see me through at least 3 lifetimes.
Yes, me too. So I'd rather just play what I have, and then when something really good comes out, I'll probably pick it up anyway. So,
yeah, that is very, very noble of you, Mads. I wish I could adopt the same approach. Unfortunately, I just absolutely can't. I can't help myself. And but today, because they only run each deal runs for 24 hours, and then they flip the games. And today, I missed out on Alien Isolation.
Okay.
Which I'm a bit gutted about, because I really like the look of that. I mean, it's only about 7 or 8 quid, but still.
Yeah, I was just about free. To say it's cheap as chips.
I know.
I've installed it on the big PC at home. It even supports VR, I think, these days.
Ooh, that'd be terrifying.
I didn't play it myself, but my oldest daughter played it, and she normally she doesn't get scared of anything, actually, but that was too scary for her.
Really?
Yes.
I believe it's really, really scary. Mm. Yeah. And the only other thing I wanted to mention just before we move on, unless you've got anything to add, there's a again, going back to the modern games for legacy systems, there's a game on the ZX Spectrum that I really like that came out, I want to say, earlier this year, but it may well have been last year, called Jumping Jupiter.
Yeah.
Which is a 48K specy game, kind of Manic Miner-like, where you single screen, you have to collect the objects, and then you move on. I've said it before, I'm an absolute sucker for games like that. And they've just released a game called A Very Sheepy Christmas. A company called Quantum Sheep. And looks like a really nice Christmas-themed, again, Manic Miner-like, where it looks like you have to run around collecting a bunch of presents on each screen. Possibly not the most original, but as a little novelty concept, something to stick alongside Holiday Lemmings in your Christmas playlist.
Yeah,
I think it looks quite nice. Mm. Cool. Anything else from you, Mads?
No, mate. Let's get into it. So we had a huge list. Chris and I, we maintained this little spreadsheet on Google Docs here that lists all of the games that we played for the past 2-3 years now in the game club. And there were so many to choose from now that we decided to do sequels, because a lot of these games are either the first in a series or there has been some spin-off of some kind. So just going through the list here, we could have chosen like Worms, something in the Worms series. We played the first one, and there are a host of sequels to select from there. You said there's a sequel to The Colonel's Bequest as well. What was that called?
Yeah. It's called The Dagger of Amon-Ra.
Exactly, yeah. And California Games 2 could have been here. Prince of Persia 2 or Sands of Time or whatever we want to choose in that series. There's, of course, a Eurydium 2. We did play the entire series of Streets of Rage, but there is actually... We played the first three when we played this, but there is actually a Streets of Rage 4 that was released this year or... Yeah, it was this year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Could have played that as well, but not that retro, I guess.
Dean would tell us right off for that match.
He probably would. And we've got Devil's Crush was followed by Jackie Crush, which was only released on the SNES in Japan, I think. I'm pretty sure we played that briefly when we played Devil's Crush as well, but I forget what it was
like. Yeah, I definitely had to look at it. It's not as good.
Okay. But still, it's same idea in the Crush series. You have a single table with three sections and six pairs of flippers, right? Or three pairs of flippers.
Yeah.
What else we got? Midwinter 2 we could have chosen. And The Incredible Machine, of course. There was an Incredible Machine 2 as well.
Yeah.
You seem to know that there's a Supercars 3-ish something on the PC as well, right?
Yeah, there's a game called Supercars International.
Okay.
Which is a DOS game, which it seems, we chatted about this, didn't we, the other night? It seems to be a bit of a kind of an amalgamation of 1 and 2, so the best tracks from both.
Okay.
What was the feature from Supercars 1 that they didn't port over to Supercars 2? There was something which was definitely in 1 but wasn't in 2, and it was reviewed. A lot of the reviews said it's a shame that they dropped that. I can't remember what it was, but they brought that back.
The whole minigame about buying a new car or haggling for the prices? Or
no, I think, yes, that was it. So that's not in 2, is it?
No, not as I recall right now, no.
So I'm pretty sure in Supercars International you've got that.
Okay.
There
were lots of little mini games after each race. I mean, you could go up to a driving test and all sorts.
That's right. Yeah. So it and I think I'm right in saying that the multiplayer options were expanded as well. I had a very quick look at it when we did Supercars 2, and I don't think it's different enough to justify having it again as another month.
Oh, you're probably right. So what else have we got here? We've got Dark Forces was followed, of course, by a lot of games in that series. It was then renamed actually to Jedi Knight, and then the Jedi Knight series was there were like 4 or 5 games in that series, right?
Could we have had? So I'm going back a little bit, and we didn't talk about this tonight, but Donkey Kong. So we played Donkey Kong 94 on the Game Boy, of course.
So Donkey Kong Jr., for example.
Well, no, Donkey Kong Jr. was a sequel to the original Donkey Kong, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay. So you're talking about the March of the Minis. Ooh, that's such a beautiful game, actually.
It's a GBA game, wasn't it? So that qualifies. That's definitely retro.
Yeah, and it had some. There was a March of the Minis on the DS as well. That was really good.
Yeah, I think they got worse as they went on. From what I've read, I've not played them all, but I think the more the iterations went on, the more they moved away from the original Donkey Kong 94.
Okay. So the first one on the DS, I definitely remember being great.
And that was the second sequel, because there was definitely one on the GBA.
Yes, you're right.
So, yeah, possibly. Yeah,
that could have been as well. And of course, Command & Conquer, that series spawned like a million games as well. So Red Alert would be the first real sequel there.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy, we played the 7th one, so lots of games to choose from there as well. More games in the Metal Slug series. Manic Miner was followed by Jet Set Willy. There are more games in the Bonk series as well.
For sure.
Advance Wars 2, what's it called? Black Hole Rising, something along
those lines. That's
right. Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry about the noise, by the way. I think my cat is attacking the door into the room because she really wants to get in, but just ignore her. What else have we got here?
Strider.
Strider, of course. Yeah, there's a Strider 2E. There's one on the arcade that was released in 1999, which was also released on the PlayStation and other consoles as well. That looks pretty good. And then there's what looks to be a shoddy self-made port of some arcade game for the 8-bits that's called Strider 2 as well.
It was a Tiatex game, and I think most people listening to this will shudder at the sound of Tiatex's name. But yeah, from what I've read, it's mediocre at best.
Okay.
Shame.
So Strider 2 would definitely be the arcade version we want to play then.
Definitely be the PS1 version, wouldn't it, or the arcade, yeah.
So Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, of course, was an entire series of multiple games as well. And the E's series is, what's it up to now? The 11th game?
Oh, God. I think the 11th one is out already on some systems and coming out on others.
Yeah. Silent Hill launched an entire series as well. How many have we got there? Like 5 or something along those lines?
Roms. So there was 4. I want to say there was 4. It went up to Silent Hill The Room, which was 4.
Okay.
And then there was a series of kind of spin-offs, which were made by the guy who did Her Story, Well, Climax Studios was run by the... Who's the name of the guy who did Telling Lies and Her Story?
Okay.
They're Morgan Gage, but obviously, yeah, he was at Climax Studios, and he did some of the games in the Silent Hill series. Again, I think mixed reviews, but I would like to do a bit of a series playthrough of Silent Hill, but I think maybe it's just a little bit too soon yes. to dive into yep. a Silent Hill yep. sequel, perhaps.
So, of course, you and I, we've been going through all of these because those were a lot of games. We won't be whittling down that long list. So you and I, we've gone through these games and picked the 8 games that we could actually see ourselves play for a month. So it's down to Prince of Persia 2, Jackie Crush, Jedi Knight, Red Alert, Strider 2, the arcade game, Jet Set Willy, and Advance Wars. So I've lost count. How many was that, mate?
That was 8.
That was all of them? That was all of them.
That was 8. That was a good counting. That was definitely 8.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So which... What are we going to do here? Are we going to bat for 4 of them? Are we going to have 4? Because I think when we discussed this, we kind of almost kind of came to an agreement, didn't we, on the 8 that we thought should go forward.
Yeah.
So how do you want to do? Should we just kind of take one each, kind of eliminating one and see where we get to?
Yeah, let's do that. I'll start, mate. Okay. I'll start, mate, with the...
Oh, he's champing at the bit, looking at
me. Yes, yes. I mean, there's one of these...
Can't wait to knock out one of my favourite games.
One of these I never spent enough time on back in the day, and I really, really liked it. So as you know, I'm a huge fan of Jordan Magnus' Prince of Persia. And I loved when we played that first game in the game club. And I almost got through it. I remember getting really far, but I never finished it. Because, of course, there's the time limit, and it's quite a hard game.
It's hard.
So... Prince of Persia 2 was released in 1993 for the DOS PC. It was also released on a couple of other platforms, Seven Towns, Macintosh, PC 98, and the Super Nintendo. But I played the DOS version, and that would definitely be the one I would think we should play here. It was, if I recall correctly, Jordan Magnus is still involved. He's not directly involved, as in he's not programming at this time, but he's definitely involved in the game design. And it's just, you'd say it's more of a good thing, really. It's a Prince of Persia in the vein of the original one, the same gameplay, the beautiful animations, but the graphics has been touched up, so they look a lot better now in a 1993 DOS game. And it's still timed, and it takes place, I think it's only like a week after the stuff that happens in Prince of Persia 1. So in Prince of Persia 1, if you actually do finish it, you defeat Jafar and you get the girl, I guess. But then immediately you are like transformed into this beggar instead of a prince. And another guy looking like the prince comes and throws you out. And that's, of course, Jafar. He's back, and he's a wizard, of course. So he
only had a week off?
Yeah, I think it's something along those lines. I'm not really sure on the story here. But now you have to fight your way back and defeat Jafar once more in 1 hour. So I'd love to revisit Prince of Persia. So and I remember playing this back in the day on my 486. So I would love to get into this again.
Okay. So shall I give a pitch for another one of the games?
Yeah. Choose one, mate.
Okay. So one of the games I would really like to play is Command & Conquer Red Alert.
Of course.
I really enjoy Command & Conquer. I probably enjoy Command & Conquer more than you did when we played this back
I think we both agreed back in the day when we played this that it was something that was... good because of the rose-tinted spectrums, and we could see its flaws today. Command & Conquer, but I'm pretty sure we also talked about that Red Alert is probably the sweet spot. That's perfect. They fixed the flaws. The AI isn't that stupid anymore, so it would walk into anything, and you had to micromanage it. And the gameplay flow was just that little bit tighter.
Yeah. I love the way you've just shouted out one of our patrons by saying rose-tinted spectrum instead of rose-tinted glasses.
Did I actually say that?
Yeah.
Wonderful. So shout out to Rose-Tinted Spectrum. He does some great YouTube videos. So go find him on YouTube. Eh? Wonderful.
So, I mean, Red Alert, I mean, I enjoyed it more than Command & Conquer back in the day, but whereas I've replayed Command & Conquer now a couple of times, I've never gone back to Red Alert.
Seriously?
But Yeah, and I don't know why. What can you remember? Can you remember the gameplay differences to the original Command & Conquer?
Well, first off, it just looks better because it's a couple years younger, of course. So all the sprites are smaller. You can zoom out further. It's the pathfinding of the units is so much better. I mean, that was better. Horrible on Command & Conquer, if you recall it. There are these, like, Red Sonja, is that what she's called? The Russian unit you can get. I love...
The G.I.J. kind of thing.
Yeah, I love the addition of those little hero units as well. Yeah. And it's so many more units to use. And it's just... It's the perfect Command & Conquer game for me. I mean, the series is huge, and I've played it all the way up to Generals, but... Red Alert is the sweet spot. I love that, and I will go back to that sometimes. I picked it up years ago when it was released on the iPad, and that was perfect to play on the iPad as well.
Yeah, I think it'd be a really nice one to go back to and to compare it to the original Command & Conquer.
By the way, for our listeners, if you are interested in Command & Conquer and Red Alert, the Command & Conquer remastered bundle is 50% off on Steam right now. So it's I think it's about 10 euros, so it's, I guess,
just disgusting value again.
Yes, and that's a remaster of Command & Conquer and the expansion pack and Red Alert, and maybe it was Aftermath, one of the expansion packs as well, at least. Maybe it's all of them. I forget right now.
But it had three expansion packs, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I'm going to have to look. Let's see. So Command & Conquer Remastered Collection.
Ah, Wikipedia tells me it had two expansion packs, but then the PS1 version had its... that was a compilation of the PC expansion packs.
Okay. So the Command & Conquer and Red Alert remastered edition is new 4K remasters. They've gone the whole way. They've had all the FMV stuff. They probably had that on VHS tapes or something, different places. They found those in old closets and stuff and got them redigitized and touched up as good as they could. And they just put everything they could into there. And it's actually, did you know, I didn't know, but the development team behind the remastered collection, they went out and found a lot of the old guys that actually worked on Command & Conquer and Red Alert and got them back in to do this.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I heard that. And aren't they... I've heard that there may be new Command & Conquer stuff as well in the pipeline with the reassembled team behind it.
Yeah, I heard that when they did the remaster. I haven't heard anything about it since, though.
No, but, it's gone quiet. It has gone quiet.
Yeah.
But that would be nice. I mean, as much as I love a remake and as much as I love a remaster, if there was a Command & Conquer reboot, that would get my juices flowing, I think.
Yes. Enjoy that. Just having a look here, there's more than 4 hours of extra recordings and behind the scenes stuff and music and all stuff you can dive into there in that remastered collection if you want to.
Yeah, and Frank Lopaki went back and re-recorded the whole soundtrack, but with live instruments as well.
Oh, nice.
So that'd be well worth a listen because I was such a huge fan of the original Command & Conquer score. That would be so cool just to listen to that kind of remastered and reworked and re-recorded soundtrack.
Yeah, indeed.
So good. The original Red Alert is freeware. That was made freeware by EA
when Red Alert
3 was announced. So you can pick up the original for free, legally.
Yep.
But the remaster at £10, that pack sounds incredible value.
Yes, it does. And then you're sure that it works on a modern PC. I mean, if you get the... It's just two ISOs, the NOD and GDI discs, I guess.
That's right.
If you get those, you'll have to jump through some hoops to actually make it work. It was designed for Windows 95, it must have been, right?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So more potential... So for Command & Conquer multiplayer, which was a lot of fun last time.
It was designed for DOS, actually. It must have been that old. I'm sure there was a version for DOS that was released first, and then there was a Windows version.
Must have been right on the cusp.
Yeah, must have been.
Mustn't it, of Windows. Cool. So that's a good possibility.
Yep, indeed. So I'm going to pick one as well. Which one should I pick? So Strider 2. Let's go for that one. So I remember when we played Strider, I really enjoyed playing that beautiful arcade game. And I had a look at Strider 2 at that point in time, just looking through some videos and never tried to play it myself. So it's this it's 2D animations, but on 3D backgrounds, right? So yeah. It's still, the sprites are beautiful. It looks really nice and really playable, but there's this 4-3D feel to it. And the enemies are still, you know, larger than life. They look a lot like the huge screen filling enemies you'd be fighting, yeah. Or the bosses you'd be fighting in the first game. And I actually heard that this was actually quite a good and somehow overlooked game. So I'd like to get into this as well. And thinking back on the Strider month, we had so many people playing along, and we had a really good time trying to beat each other's scores there.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, that'd be good to play. Only problem is, I lost, didn't I? You got more points than me in that one.
I think I get more points than you in most of the games you play now, man.
You do.
Do you remember this was the one when we went through Strider last time? Kit in our Discord has got the original PS1 Strider 2 game. And isn't this the one where they misprinted the disc, where the classic arcade Strider is on the disc which says Strider 2 and vice versa?
Yeah, that's true.
It is, isn't it? Typical late PS1 game where they'd forgot about the fact that everything just had to be 3D polygons, and actually they'd started again to embrace some of the more 2 and 2.5D games.
Yep.
And didn't they look better for it?
Oh, yes.
If only they got on the train 3 years earlier, we might have had a whole load of absolutely incredible-looking 2 and 2.5D PlayStation games.
Yeah, indeed.
It certainly is a pretty game, this, though.
It is. It does look really good and really playable, so would be fun to have a hack and slash and draw the Cypher Sword once more and see where we could get.
Yeah, although there are certainly parts of that original Strider that continue to haunt me. the cries of the Amazonians in the rainforest, still enough to give me shivers down my spine.
Yeah, that dinosaur is actually there in the second one as well, that skeleton dinosaur thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's just, this one's just hit the blacklist. So I'll pick off the next one then. I'll pick off Jackie Crush.
Okay.
It's difficult to really make a pitch for Jackie Crush. I think the one thing I can really say, having played a little bit of it when we played Devil's Crush, is that it is very much in the Crush series. And we had so much fun playing Devil's Crush. I remember you saying at the time, I think it was only the second Game Club episode I was on.
Yeah, it must have been in the very beginning, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the November 2018, way back when. And I remember you saying at the time, this is not going to be good. We can't have a pinball game. Because if it was a PC Engine, we had all those amazing shooters, and you were devastated that a pinball game had won the vote. But actually, how much fun. And it's amazing how many people now still say on Discord that they came along to Discord because of the Devil's Crush competition. So many people have so many good memories of it. So that, for me, is probably the biggest selling point of Jackie Crush, is that it is definitely in that lineage. It's made by the same people. There's a lot of the same features. I just didn't think it was as good. I'd love to have another pinball game in the Game Club, but wonder whether that's the one that we should have. So, we'll take that under advisement. It's still a good game. It's not a PC Engine game. It was a Super Nintendo exclusive, I think.
Yes, it was. And it only released in Japan.
Japan only, yeah.
But it still looks quite good. I haven't played it. I did just play it briefly, but that's now more than 2 years ago. It's still like a single board divided into three sections. Yeah. Where you have a set of flippers in each, and we have those bonus stages as well. So there are six bonus stages in Jackie Crush, and they are accessed by shooting the ball into a demon's mouth when it's open, and then you can get into those bonus rounds like we did in Devil's Crush, of course.
There's just not as much going on with Jackie Crush. If I remember rightly, there's a whole section. I mean, because I don't know whether you played Alien Crush as well, which is the first game.
Yeah.
In Alien Crush, like Devil's Crush, although Alien Crush isn't as good, there's still a lot going on the table. Whereas in Jackie Crush, I remember one of the sections, and maybe as you go further on and you unlock stuff, maybe more stuff starts to happen. There's this whole section of the table where there's really nothing. The ball just kind of travels through it. And I just felt...
That's weird, because they were so busy, those
I know.
Games.
And I just felt like, compared to Devil's Crush, there was just a lot less going on.
Okay, mate.
Yeah.
I'll pick the next one then. Let's see. Which one should I go for? What have we got left? We've got Jedi Knight. Let me go with that one. So Star Wars Jedi Knight is, of course, Dark Forces 2, and the series changed its name there. It's only the first one that's actually called Dark Forces, and this has Dark Forces 2 as its subtitle, and from there on, it just keeps the Jedi Knight moniker, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jedi Knight 2, oh, Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight, was such a beautiful game. I mean, I remember playing this back in the day. This must have been early Windows 95 five times. It's released in 1997. It's still developed by LucasArts, of course. I was surprised reading about this the other day because it's designed by Peter Chan. He's the designer and the writer as well. So Peter Chan is a guy I only know as being a really, really talented artist working on a lot of the adventure games from LucasArts back in the day. But apparently he was a writer and designer as well. And if I recall correctly, the writing is spot on and the story is really good in the Jedi Knight series as such. I mean, this was... For me, Dark Forces and the entire series of first-person shooters that followed there, that was the Star Wars story I wanted to see. And only now with the Mandalorian am I actually getting some Star Wars of the same quality as I got there.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are saying, aren't they? But yeah, I can't resist. I had a sneaky look at this when we played Dark Forces a long time ago now, Dark Forces. But when I had a sneaky look and... Yeah, it looks so much better. Those 2 years have been very kind to that graphics engine.
Yes, yeah. And it only gets, of course, better from there. And Jedi Knight has a... So Jedi Knight, if we play this, we should consider whether we include Mysteries of the Sith as well, because there's an expansion pack for it. But I forget how long this game is in itself, in and of itself. But if it's not that long, then maybe we should add Mysteries of the Sith as well that came the year after. I remember this because that was highly anticipated, Mysteries of the Sith, and I went out and bought this together with a friend because we always used to buy these PC games together, and then he'd have it 1 month and I'd get it for the next month. This is really a good game, and of course Jedi Knight 2, which is called Jedi Outcast, I think, was released a couple of years later, and still beautiful games. So just if you like your Star Wars and you like your first person shooters with a good story, just Do pick these up.
This is a really strong contender, isn't it? I think Star Wars is back in vogue now because of the success of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the first series of that at the moment, so I'm right in the mood for a bit of Star Wars. And I loved Dark Forces. Such a good time playing that. Do you know if there are any... One of the cool things about Dark Forces was the mod, which I think Drisky actually put us onto at the time. That gave us the WASD and mouse control.
Yeah, but you actually didn't need the mod for that, mate. I remember you guys talked about that, but the original Dark Forces is completely controllable by mouse. Just go into the configurations and change it, and then set to WASD controls. And I played it as you would a modern shooter, but I played the original CD-ROM release on a DOS machine.
I played the original in the end as well, because I think there was an issue with the mod, which... Yeah. Meant that you could get to a point where you couldn't carry on.
That's true. But the mod had other stuff as well. As I mean, apart from the controls, which were, I mean, just as good in the original, there was some upscaling and lots of other stuff going on in the mod, wasn't there?
Yeah. Didn't it give it widescreen support as well?
Possibly.
I think it might have done. But this is the cool thing about these old PC games is that there are mods available. Yeah, and there is things that you can mess around with, and if you are so inclined, I mean, you're probably a little bit more of a purist than me, but I think you've definitely been a bad or good influence, depending on how you see it. I think I am definitely now much more of a purist than I used to be, and I think while I'd probably like to mess around and have a look at the mods when it comes to playing the game, I'd want to play it as close as I could to what it would have been like in 1997 as I possibly can.
Yeah, and that's actually that speaks against this game, because I don't have a PC of that era. I have one that's circa 1995 for my DOS stuff, 1994, 1995, and I do have some more recent ones, beginning of the 2000s, Windows XP stuff. But I need I need like a Pentium 200 MMX or K6 something and a Voodoo card for this, don't I?
Yeah, but it's not really emulation, though, is it? Because it's still a PC.
That's true.
I mean, how far do you want to take this stuff?
And these games can be bought on good old games, by the way. So yeah, they must be able to run on modern PCs as well.
Yeah, I think it's about £7 at the moment. And with that, you get the expansion packs as well. You get a music CD and everything else.
Yep, yep.
So again,
good value.
Decent value.
Mm. So, you pick a game, mate.
Okay, so I am going to have a look at Advance Wars 2. In terms of what is Black Hole Rising? Well, it's pretty much more of the same. You might remember in the plot mads, as we got towards the end of Advance Wars, the real baddie showed himself, and it was a nation called the Black Hole.
Yes.
And it was led by the guy Sturm, who looked like some very strange elephant man, kind of weird portrait. Do you remember him?
Yeah, I do.
And he came in, and he exposed himself as the real baddie, and the guys kind of all got together and took him out in that marathon last mission. Well, really, the story just continues from there. The gameplay is less linear, so although there were one or two points in the original where you could branch, essentially, and in this one as well, you do come back to the same point. But there is much more flexibility in terms of where you go and what missions you choose in this one. Not that we'll be playing through it more than once in the game club, but it definitely adds to some replayability with number two. Apart from that, the core gameplay is pretty much as it was. It's really that addictive turn-based strategy. I never played this back in the day, and I haven't played it recently. Again, had a sneaky peek at it after I finished Advance Wars 1. And I would think the graphics have just been tightened up a little bit. There seems to be a slightly different colour palette as well. Everything just seems to be less garish and same kind of stylized way, but there's definitely something more refined and more sophisticated about the graphics. And I think you could say that about the music as well. It's generally, for me, just a little bit better than Advance Wars 1, but probably a little bit less impactful because it is essentially the same game. Really, really critically acclaimed. You know, 9.2, 9.3 out of 10. So definitely one, I think, that people will enjoy sinking their teeth in. Against, it's only been 6 months since we had Advance Wars 1. So perhaps that it goes against it a little bit. That it's all still, Advance Wars is still a little bit too fresh in the mind. I don't know. But it's certainly a good game.
Okay. So the last game, because I did actually count wrong, we've got 7 games here, but that's fine.
Okay.
The last game was Jet Set Willy. And of course, that's the follow-up to Manic Miner. So everybody listening to this podcast will already know the story of this, but you're going to get it anyway. So having struck lucky in the first game, of course, Willy owns this lavish mansion now with over 60 rooms. And he's had a great party, hasn't he? And Maria, his housekeeper, is, telling him to clean it all up before he can go to bed. And he really wants to go to bed because he's got a hangover and stuff. So Matthew Smith, again, coded this beauty on the Spectrum, of course. And it is just, more of a good thing as well, isn't it?
In some ways it is. In some ways it is. In some ways it's different because it's not level based, is it? Like Manic Miner.
That's true. It's like an open world game almost, right?
It is. Yeah, and you can just go wherever you want in the mansion, in the house, and you got to collect these. You got to pick up the rubbish, haven't you? As you've said. So it is. I mean, in terms of the mechanically, it's very, very similar. And each of the screens are laid out like a level.
Yes.
But there's no. You don't go from the VAT to the bank.
But mate, why would you have like spikes and revolving racers and other kind of hazards in your mansion? That seems kind of weird to me.
Have you ever heard Matthew Smith, or have you ever seen interviews or read interviews with Matthew Smith?
I have. Yeah.
just don't go there.
Okay.
It's not a safe place.
But this is, of course, a game that a lot of people will know and love. It's from early 1984, so it's definitely the oldest one we have on our list here, and one that I would have fun with playing through as well.
You know, it's a really fun thing to do in a retro gaming convention, just to allow people over here, you say, Which is better, Manic Miner or Jet Set Willy? Watch it kick right off. Because people feel really passionate about this stuff. And I think if we did go with Jet Set Willy, it'd be really cool to get some input from Kingy on RGDS. Because not only is he a huge fan of Manic Miner, but he's a huge fan of Jet Set Willy as well.
Yep.
So it'd be good to talk to him about it.
So those cool. were the seven games. And I think, seeing as we will whittle the list all the way down to just a single game now. We should just take turns picking one off the list, and then of course, if you pick something off and I don't agree with, I'll defend it, and then we'll see where that leads us. If I pick something off you don't agree with, that's just too bad, mate.
Okay, so we're not batting for the games that we've just described here. We're kind of, it's a free for all. We can just pick off any game from off those seven.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I think we should do.
Well, shall I go first then, considering that you had first dibs at what to talk about?
Go right ahead, mate. Actually, scratch that. Let me just grab myself some rum, because as you know, I've got a bit of a back pain and I need to medicate myself. So rum is definitely what the doctor ordered. So give me just a sec and I'll be back. Listeners, I'm back. I've got my rum ready to drink and see what Chris wants to eliminate from this beautiful list. Let me just tell you guys again which games we're looking at, because now we've taken a long time talking about them. So we've got, the first one would be Prince of Persia 2, The Shadow and the Flame. Actually, it's important that it is Prince of Persia 2, The Shadow and the Flame, because there's another game called Prince of Persia 2 as well, which was in the rebooted series. Yeah. So this is the old original Prince of Persia 2. It's a Star Wars Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2. So the first of the series that's just called Jedi Knight, really. Jackie Crush, the follow-up to Alien Crush and Devil's Crush. Red Alert, of course, in the Command & Conquer series. Strider 2, the arcade game. And Jet Set Willy. And, of course, Advance Wars. Those were the games, yes. So, Chris, which one will be the first one you try to eliminate from this list?
I like that. I'll try. So, if I can get this past you. So, for me, pretty easy one. As I said, there is definitely going to be more pinball games featured in the game club. But I don't think Jackie Crush is the one. And I think if we had Jackie Crush, your theory that pinball games can't last a month will probably be founded. So I am going to eliminate Jackie Crush.
Fair enough. I won't oppose that. So you've already made it hard, because we've got some great games here. There is one game, though. I would enjoy playing it, no doubt. But you described it a lot as just more of a good thing. Maybe a bit more fine-tuned. And that's Advance Wars 2. I enjoyed Advance Wars, but it hasn't been that long since we played it. And if this is just more of a good thing, then maybe I can skip that and play some of the other games. So I'd, if it's okay with you, I'd pick off Advance Wars 2.
Yeah, and what I would say, if you did want to play more Advance Wars but wanted something slightly different, you could play, there is the fourth Wargroup game or... in this. No, well, I was going to say Wargroup as well, which is not by the same people, but it's essentially a...
It's like a spiritual successor, isn't it?
It's a very, very close, loving homage to Advance Wars. It looks exactly the same. But there is one actually in the Advance Wars series, and I can't think of the subtitle now, but it's the fourth game in the series, which is actually set in is it our world? Or it's very much more realistic setting with actual grown-up characters, not children, which, curiously, Advance Wars has children as its protagonists.
Hmm.
But it's much more mature story, and actually kind of changes up the mechanics a little bit as well. So if you do want to play more Advance Wars, maybe that's the one you should look at.
Okay, fair enough. I was actually considering having a little bit of Wargroove at some point, because the Retro Game Squad guys really loved that. So
Days of Ruin is the Advance Wars that I was just talking about. It's a DS game, came out in 2008. But Wargroove is definitely one to check out. I think our playthrough colleague Andy Gilmore is a massive fan of Wargroove, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Okay, so you've picked off Advance Wars.
Yes.
The next one for me is I can hear Kingy from RGDS cursing me, but Jet Set Willy. Jet Set Willy, I think I'm going to go. I love the Speccy, and any excuse to have Speccy games in the game club, I don't need much persuading. But man, we've just played Exile, or we are playing Exile, which is an 8-bit arcade adventure, which has, it's exhausted me. I'll save that chat for next week.
Yep.
But the thought of going to another open worldish 8-bit arcade adventure right off the back of Exile, I'm not feeling it.
Okay, fair enough, mate. So I'd like to play Jet Set Willy at some point.
Yeah.
But I'm with you there. We've been playing on the BBC Micro for a while now, and maybe we need something a bit more modern for January.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, this is going really easy so far.
So we've got four left.
Got four left, and I'd love to play all four of these. So which one to pick off here? Man, this is tough already. Okay, so probably I would eliminate out of these four Red Alert. And it's definitely not because I don't want to play Red Alert, because I do. And that's, as I said, that is my favorite entry in that series.
But gave it such a big up earlier.
Yeah, I know. And I really like that game. But Prince of Persia 2, Jedi Knight, and Strider 2 just intrigues me. They need to stay there for now. So I'm sorry, but if you're okay with it, Red Alert is eliminated as well. We will definitely need to revisit real-time strategy games at some point, mate. But there are lots of others we should pit it up against there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. I'm a little bit surprised that you didn't pick off one of the others. And I might well give you a Sophie's Choice in a minute. But I'm a little bit surprised. But I think I do agree that if we do, we probably will revisit real-time strategy at some point in the game club. I'd like to see Red Alert going up against some of the other contenders, actually.
Mm.
So maybe let's keep our powder dry on Red Alert. But it's definitely a series that I want to go back to. My problem with Command & Conquer is that I don't feel as if it's something right now that I'm going to pick up unless I've got a real reason to play it, like the game club or something similar, or if we did something on Westwood Studios, maybe.
That's true.
I think I like it, but probably not enough to really gravitate to it off my own steam. Anyway. Okay, so I've got Strider 2, Prince of Persia, and Jedi Knight. Your pick is next. So we'll have to work out how we're going to go from 2-1, because I am going to give you your Sophie's Choice by taking
Are you being tactical now, mate? Or are you eliminating what you actually want to eliminate?
No, I'm actually eliminating what... If I was being kind to you...
I mean, I know you've been talking to the original Chris recently. So maybe he's taught you something about tactical voting or something along those lines.
Chris O'Regan invented tactical voting on the trust side. He's a master of it, and he's always whiter than white. I don't tactical vote. He's the master of it. The man's a genius. Yeah, no, if I was being kind to you, I would pick off one of Jedi Knight and Prince of Persia and leave you the easy choice of eliminating Strider 2, because I know how much you love Dark Forces and Prince of Persia. But I'm not going to do that, Max.
Bastard.
I'm not going to do that, because that would be far, far too nice. So, look, this is no disservice to Strider 2 at all, because that game really does look amazing. And it's one of the things, if you do read reviews and you read series histories of Strider, people do say this is probably one of the biggest surprises of the 90s when it comes to gaming, because a lot of people expected it to be absolute turd. But it's not. It's meant to be really, really good. So it's a shame in some ways, and I can't think that we're easily going to be able to revisit it with another theme. So, you know, it's a bit unfortunate, but the quality of and the temptation for Prince of Persia 2 and Jedi Knight is too strong. So yeah, it's bye bye Strider 2 for me.
Okay. So you really did give me a tough choice here. Oh, mate. We've got.
And I'm not going to help you at all. It's all on you.
I was just about to say, you need to help me here, mate.
No.
So we've got Prince of Persia 2. So Prince of Persia, we played back in the middle of 2018, I think. That was before your time, actually. But you did play along, I remember.
Do you know what this is reminding me of?
Yeah?
It's reminding me of when you made me choose between Final Fantasies for the first RPG category.
And that was good fun.
This is revenge.
And Dark Forces we played in the middle of 2019. So it's been a while since we played those two games.
You're not getting a get-out-of-jail-free card there.
Prince of Persia 2, lots of nostalgia there for me. I really, really enjoyed playing that, but I never gave it enough time because I had too many games that I somehow had on my hard drive back in the day.
Is it not too similar to the first one, Mads? I'm trying to help you out here. I'm giving you a possible way out. Is it not too similar?
Yeah, but Star Wars Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2 is just the same as Dark Forces, just more and better and a new story, isn't it? So in that way, they're pretty much the same, aren't they? It's the next iteration. It looks better. The graphics are better. The sound design is better.
We can't hold the theme against these games, can we? Having chose sequels, we can't criticize them for being sequels.
No, not at all. No, I'm going to have to go with, and this pains me, because I just recently bought Jordan Magnus' Journal of the Making of Prince of Persia, so I'd love to get into reading that and seeing how, if I could see any of those things that he worked with in Prince of Persia in the second game as well. But as you said, Star Wars is very topical these days because of the new series, and there are lots of new series coming out, I heard, on the Disney, the streaming service as well. Let's eliminate Prince of Persia 2 for now. We probably won't revisit that again then, but let's eliminate that for now and go with Star Wars Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2. Are you okay with that, mate?
I agree.
Wonderful. Yeah.
100%. I think you've made a good choice. I hear what you say about Jedi Knight is just more Dark Forces, only bigger and better. But I actually think there's more to it than that. Yeah. I do. I think Jedi Knight builds on what Dark Forces did a lot more than probably what Jordan Mechner did with Prince of Persia 2. I mean, look, Prince of Persia is a great game. More Prince of Persia, what's not to love? But I think we get more out of Jedi Knight.
So what's funny about stuff like Jedi Knight, what I like in the switch between Dark Forces and Dark Forces 2 here is that for us PC gaming nerds who remember it from back in the day, this is the switch from a pure 2D or whatever you want to call it, I mean software 3D into real 3D acceleration. So Jedi Knight is from 1997, so they've got real 3D acceleration support through the Direct 3D technology.
Yeah.
So this is leaps and bounds better looking than what you've seen earlier on in Doom and Dark Forces. So that'll be interesting to see. And as I said, I actually don't have a PC of that era. So I'm also looking forward to seeing how well that actually works.
Yeah.
In emulation. I'm pretty sure it should work quite okay since it's direct 3D and not the Voodoo. If they had chosen Voodoo, if you had the Voodoo cards, you had this glide system that you needed to get up and running. And that I've heard that can be a bit of a pain emulating, but that's doable today as well. So yeah, it would be interesting to see how this works. And it will give me an excuse to look online for like circa 1997, 1998 PCs. So one spoiler for Jedi Knight, I think it's safe to make because everybody will find out as soon as they look at the game. In this game, you actually get to have a lightsaber. The lightsaber battles, if I recall correctly, they only get really good in Jedi Knight 2, the Jedi Outcast, and later on in the Jedi Academy game. But they're serviceable here as well. It's great fun.
Yeah, remember we said last time that when we were reading interviews with the developers of Dark Forces, they said they would have loved to put lightsabers into the game, but the technology just wasn't there at the time. Well, it was there 2 years later.
And another thing that our listeners should know is that Jedi Knight actually has two different endings. So you have to you pick Force Powers because, of course, you've got the Force here as well. You've got Force Powers to you've got your arsenal and you've got your Force Powers, and that's great fun. And when you pick Force Powers, you can pick between Dark and Light Side Force Powers. Just whatever you want, really. But if you stay on the Light Side, pick the Light Force Powers, and you don't kill any NPCs that aren't hostile towards you, you'll get the Light ending. And if you, on the other hand, go all Dark Side, you'll get the Dark ending. Brilliant. Never knew that back in the day, so I've only tried one of these endings, and right now I can't remember which one I got, so I'll have to play this twice, I think.
Well, I'd settle for getting through it once.
Yeah.
But no, that's a good shout, Dan. It's kind of the thing that they did back in the day, but just not tell anyone about, isn't it? I mean, nowadays you get the big... You get every time you come to an NPC, you get a big blue half of the screen saying good side and a red half of the screen just saying bad side.
Mm.
Back in the day, they just put these mechanics in there and they just let you run with it.
Yeah, sure.
Adaptive difficulty in games and everything, which they just didn't tell anybody about, but it was there running in the background. I think it's a fine choice, And I think we will have a really good time playing through Jedi Knight. Do check it out on GOG. Hopefully, there might be some kind of winter sale where we can all pick it up for a little bit less. But even if we pay full price, I think it's literally about $7.99.
Yeah, I remember picking this up when we played Dark Forces, so I have it already, but it was cheap as chips.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so pick it up.
So I'm just going to have a look here. Jedi Knight right now is on sale, 65% off. So it's about £2. No.
Oh, my God.
£1.50.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
It's just ridiculous. Right, everyone get on that. Let's all buy Jedi Knight and let's have an absolute blast playing it in January.
Yes, let's do so.
But before we get there, we've got some more Exile to talk about, and we'll be doing that next week with Mr. Swain.
We will. I look forward to it. I've been playing it today, and I'm having a hard time avoiding turrets, bees or wasps or whatever they are, that annoying bird, and not blowing myself up whenever I use those bombs.
Yeah, I think the discussion's going to be lively next week when we chat about that. But yeah, we will be back with Mr. Swain, certainly for the Exile episode. Mads, before we sign off, do you have any shout outs, anything you want to add in closing?
Yeah, shout-outs to the other guys, of course, Matt, Steve, and Dean, and shout-outs to all of the content creators. The usual shout-outs, mate.
Yeah, good stuff. I've got a couple of shout-outs, but I'm actually going to save them until next week when we record the main Game Club episode. And until then, yeah, just shout-outs, like you've said, to the other guys.
And it seems I need to do a shout-out to Rose Tinted Spectrum again, then, because he must be on my mind since I made that Freudian slip earlier on. So check out his YouTube channel. He does some great stuff.
Yeah, Rose Tinted Spectrum, not Rose Tinted Glasses.
No, not Rose Tinted Glasses. There's probably a YouTube channel for that as well.
Right, mate, on that note, let's say goodbye and see you for some Exile chat next week.
Yes, see you, mate. Bye.
Take care, mate. Cheers then. Bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime.